Robin and I are going to share a little presentation on our trip to Mexico, and then maybe talk about another subject after that. So we're going to get set up with that with we have some pictures and some video that we're going to go over with you. So I hope you enjoy it. All right, here we go. Let's get set up. So Robin and I are going to do this together, so hopefully we don't argue over dates or times. And, you know, so if we do, you know, we can give us a little marriage counseling after we're done. So here we are. So, well, for, you know, quite a while, Joy's been talking with me about needing a guitar down at their fellowship. The one they had is kind of broken and not working well. So I had been praying about this. And then before this trip, a brother came up to me and said, hey, you know, I got a couple hundred dollars for you. And then some other people found out about that, and they said, well, I want to give too. So the next thing you know, we had $500, and we were thinking about going to buy a guitar. So Dan and I and Paul were all going to go up to Albany to look at some guitars. And I guess Dan was on the phone that day, that morning. We were going to go, and what are you doing? Oh, we're going to Albany to buy a guitar. And his brother says, well, I got a guitar. Come and I'll give him this one. So we changed our plans, and we took a couple-hour trip out to Dan's brother's house, and he ended up giving us two guitars. So now, you know, we packed up the bags. Paul helped me pack up the guitars, and we had a bag of gifts for Christmas and other things. And so now here we are getting on the plane with five luggage bags, you know, three that we're checking and two we're carrying on. So we were loaded up, and down we went. So the $500 that we was given, we brought that with us, and we'll tell you what we gave for that. But that's what this first picture is here of that's Dan's brother there along with the guitar, and it was a really a nice trip. And thank you Lord for your gifts. Right,
for anybody who knows about guitars, it was a Taylor. And only a couple years old.
A mini.
Joy loves the mini. And so does the other young lady in their fellowship that plays. And the other one was a bigger guitar. So.
The next slide there. So why don't you tell about the gifts?
It was always a really special time to go down after about the first of the year sometime. We always have a late Christmas down there with Joy and Poncho and the kids. We want to show a couple of pictures because you guys are always asking about the kids. So that's Allison, and she is doing amazing in her life. She's turned a corner, and she's just the most delightful, happy child. She's 8, and Max is 6.
So as soon as we were unpacking the gifts, and the next thing you know, we unpacked the two guitars, and Poncho tuned them all up. And next thing you know, they just started singing, and so I did a little recording of this song. This is right out of the box, so to speak. So.
And you can see the big smiles on their faces.
Poncho was thrilled with that larger guitar. He loved it. So he's enjoyed the gift that was brought down from here and from Dan's brother.
That's
Max playing with one of his toys, I guess.
Yep. Louisa, she lives with Ben in the doorway there. She's the young woman who goes on a lot of the missions trips, and she just needed a home base, so she's been living with Joy and Poncho and going to their church there. You can go to the next. I don't know if you can skip that and go to the next. It's almost done anyway.
So go ahead. You're going to talk about the home groups.
So the home, it's not a week.
Wednesday group.
It's a Wednesday group at El Camino, Joy and Poncho's, the church in Joy and Poncho's area. And it's a prayer and praise meeting, just like we have on Friday nights. We were like astounded what God is doing there. And they're having it each week in a different home. And so this is the home of, you remember Cielo and Oscar when they were here? This is the, sitting on the floor is Cielo's sister.
Her name is Mimi.
Her name is Mimi, and her husband is Carlos. And this is at the, we were there for three Wednesdays, and we got to be in three different homes for this meeting, and it's just wonderful.
This has been so interesting because, you know, Joy had been talking with us and the elders as well about the problems in San Juan. It's been a very strong religious spirit. It's an older town, you know, very Catholic, and so there comes with that. Even though a lot of them got saved, they still are kind of living in this religious spirit. And so, you know, it's been hard. They've been trying to do a Wednesday night meeting for a while, not like this, a regular meeting. And next thing you know, her church building, hardly no one was coming anymore. And they weren't really relating with each other. And so then what God did is Joy got sick, you remember, last September with that dengue. And she almost died. And it was like a wake-up call for the church. And the next thing you know, they were all coming and repenting for their attitudes. And then they started this Wednesday night meeting. And now when we're there, like, they're all there worshiping the Lord, and they're all involved in it. They're all a lot of them are praying, but they're all worshiping. And so you could just see the change in the spiritual atmosphere that's going to come from, well, it's already happened with them, and I think it's just going to flow out into this community with a much more intercession and prayer for this place. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And so, a lot of them, you know, they were praying for each other, so there was a lot of body ministry going on.
Yeah. So you can go to the last one, I think, is another song.
That's Max in the red shirt, in case you want to know.
We're sorry, it happens to be the same song. So, you know, we're just picking up on the same song. So,
but this shows some of the people in the church there.
Poncho was absolutely thrilled. He told us that he'd been praying for this meeting, that he wanted multiple guitars being played, and now they have the two that they're playing, and so it really, really was another thing Poncho was thrilled about. Mm-hmm. Okay, now an hour north of where Joy lives, up in the La Penita area, which is in the town of Puerto La Lima. They bought some land, as you know, and they're getting ready to build this building. And with this building, they've started it. And I'm going to show you some pictures with that. This back part here, not with all the seat, the cathedral or what would you, amphitheater that's going to go down eventually. Right over here in the back is what they're working on right now, and that's going to be a two-story building right in there, which will be a foyer and classrooms. And then, but initially, when they build it, that will be where they will meet as a church. So they started working on this. So why don't you run through some of the slides of the building? What you see here is some very large towers. They're going to be concrete cement tower or pillars that will go up. Everything that you see here is going to be under the ground. So they got to finish that wall all the way around, and then in between, this will all become one large floor in the building. So they first got to finish the foundation, and then they got to, you know, treat it for water, and then they'll backfill it all, and then they'll start to pour the first floor, and then pour the towers, and then pour a second floor. So that's that's the part where they are right now. And the one brother there that's working is actually a Mason, and he's put a lot of time into building this foundation. I went there the one day that I took these pictures, and I was carrying some of the blocks. They said, oh, yeah, you can carry the blocks, but just be careful as you move all the blocks that there's scorpions. So I actually saw three scorpions, you know, so you pull the block up, look the block all over before you pick it up fully, get a stick and get the scorpions out of the way, and then you can move the block. That was my job, carrying over the blocks, so I put them on the wall there, or on the dirt, so he could take them and build them into the wall. So next, the wedding. So we went up, we came in on Tuesday, we had the meeting on Wednesday in San Juan. Thursday we took a bus up to La Penita, and on Thursday evening I had one of two leaders meetings with the three elders that we installed last year. And so I'll tell you a little bit about that after we tell you about the wedding.
The wedding, this bride is Anna or Anita, and we knew her back when she was much younger, and her mother was one of our first friends in Mexico when we went down in 93. We met Norma for the first time, and we got to know her more in the years following. So we were actually, her mom passed, Norma passed away of cancer a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Now, and we were there, and Paul and Vera were there before that time.
A couple months before.
To pray with her at her bedside and be there and for her. And so Anna and asked us to be, Wayne and I, to be in the wedding and to be the padrinos, which is godparents of the communion. So we were the ones that during the ceremony we gave the communion to them and talked about communion. And it's on the beach in Chicala. This is when we're always talking about the beach in Chicala where it's closer to De Amores.
There's a beautiful picture.
There's a beautiful picture of it. That's where...
It was in the evening, so that's the sun going down in the back.
They timed it perfectly so they could have sunset wedding pictures. And Oscar did a great job.
Yeah,
he officiated the ceremony.
Yeah, he told me, he said, now no more than 5 minutes, you know, when I did my part.
He said, you're not preaching, Wayne. So these are just some wedding. That's a picture of the setting with looking out toward the ocean of the wedding venue. Pretty amazing. That's Joy and Pancho and the kids with the bride and groom.
So they had lights set up.
Pancho and his brother Flaviano.
Yeah, lights set up after the sun went down. It had a really nice area.
Oh, that's just Grandpa crazy dancing with Max.
Yeah, this is Max making me very dizzy. Okay.
It's hot.
So, Puerto Cielo is the church where we installed the three elders last year. I preached a little bit on Sunday at this meeting, but these two pictures or three pictures I want to show you is since last year. There was another building right behind the church. Right through that window is where they would meet underneath the covering there of the trees and some just the covering they put on. It's all open. And then they redid this building here and got two classrooms for themselves and a bathroom for the children's classrooms.
Which is really great because before, if it was raining or something, they had a hard time.
Yeah.
So it's really nice for the kids to have their own space.
So on Thursday night and then again Sunday afternoon, I had a leadership meeting with their leadership team. And both of them were really good. The first one was centered primarily just talking about De Hoven to Hoven, which is the youth to youth. It's the ministry that they do all of the Explosion Day or more. They're doing like four of them in Mexico and a couple of them in Central America. And they do, you know, a mountain trip where they go up into what they call the Sierras, into the mountains, and do a evangelism up there and training of the team that goes up. And then they, you know, they're doing other events as well. So what has happened is now the church here is now, you know, it's their ministry out of their church. They're responsible for this. So we just talked about, you know, how, you know, it's such a large ministry that's going on, and it needs to be overseen and help people be equipped to be able to serve on this team. And so we talked about all those things from a leadership point of view, and it was really a really good discussion with Ricky and Danny there as well. So, and then on Sunday we talked about more stuff related to the church and the building project and other things. And both those meetings were, I thought, very productive, and they're doing really well. I just wanted you to know that they're doing really well as a leadership team, and where the church is growing, and it's wonderful. So, okay, next.
So this is at Cielo and Oscar's house, and that was, I think, at the birthday party for Habakkuk, wasn't it?
Yeah, Habakkuk.
Yeah, so just a gathering. You can go fast on that one. So there's Rosa and some of the gang from there. Oh, this spot, that's, I wanted to show this picture because Jean Fisher got this for the kids, and I wanted her to see it. They loved them, those little squeaks.
Yeah, we made games out of them, throwing them around, you know, hot potato game hot with potatoes. Those.
It was really fun.
Yeah, Max, thanks, that's Jean. All he wanted to do is those.
And that's Luisa, again, that lives with Julian Poncho, and Armando's wife, Suri. And that's the Armando and Suri's little Gaia Salvador.
Yeah.
And that's Armando and Luisa,
yeah.
And these are cookies that Julie made for Valentine's Day. She's selling a lot of baked goods out of her home, which is extra money coming in for her family. So that was a big job they were doing when we were there. They had orders.
Okay. Now, the next stop we had was another bus trip. We took, from Joy's, it was a three-hour trip up to Topeak, which is the capital of the state of Nayarit. And this is where Shalom and his brother, that's his brother there, Moe, and a third brother,
Miguel,
yeah, thank you. Miguel and his wife. So there's three couples that are leading this fellowship that you see. We're in their church building that they rent. We had a good time with them, talking with the two couples on Friday night, and then I met with Moe on Saturday, and then we did the church, and then went out to dinner with Moe after, and his wife after the church. And so these discussions were really really important for them. They are a new fellowship. They're looking for help, you know, and we offered our help to come up and help train them in leadership and be able to walk through what they're going through. They're struggling with things because they're all young families. You know, two of them, well, Shalom and his wife is just having their first baby, and Moe had twin boys, and they're 2 years old and terrors, he says.
Yeah. And they're on everywhere.
And when we asked about his wife, he said, oh, she's just overwhelmed, you know, with taking care of these boys. And when we saw him on Sunday, we could see why. You know, out of that discussion, one thing I wanted to share. You could probably go sit down now, hon.
Okay. I just wanted to say one thing about these couples.
Go ahead.
Because I just want to just encourage everybody to keep praying for them, because you know, when we come or anybody our age comes to help them or share with them, they are just, like when they were here at the conference, they were so overwhelmed, Sarah and Shalom, because of all that gets poured out on them from people our age. They don't have grandparents in their lives, even parents necessarily, like the age of parents. I mean, they have their own natural parents, but, you know, the church is just young people. And so I can't even express to you how important this time was. It was evident that this time was so important with them because of they need grandparents. They need the older generation in their life, and they say that openly. So,
yeah, just to finish the progression here, the next one, after we finished in Topeka, we took a bus back down to La Pinita, and we had a good time with Mariella and Shaba. There, we had a little lunch with them and talked with them. One of the things they're involved in is the youth group, so we talked about some issues they are having with that. And then after that, we stayed and had some another dessert with the married couple.
And Anna and Juan.
Anna, yeah. Do we have a picture of them?
I don't know if we did.
No, okay.
But I wanted to stop there a second.
Yes, yeah. And then we went on down to Joy's for a couple of days, and then we headed home. So that was the roundup of the trip.
So this building is the church building in San Juan where Joy and Pancho are. And I don't think you've ever seen a perspective like this. We've often told you that it's all open. So when we're up on the top floor of that building, the second floor, that whole area is completely open to the main plaza where people gather. And so everybody knows that church exists. Everybody knows, and all the families know, and a lot of families in the area send their kids to the kids' club. But we just wanted to show you, I wanted to show you that picture to give you a perspective of the church that in San Juan, that it's really out there in the public. So.
Oh, yeah,
and this was Wayne's.
Okay. So $300 of the $500 we gave to the church here in San Juan, and we bought this materials that you see that I'm working on, and we built it like a really simple partition between the kitchen and the large room. It's basically just one large room up there. So they wanted a separation with the kitchen, and I put a door or a little window in it so they could do a pass-through with food out to the other area. And so, you know, we're just, they were really thrilled about it. I put that other piece there is the door that will slide over the opening when they want it closed. Then they can open it up to serve. So we're probably going to put some counters, some level of table or counter behind there, you know, so they can help make it into a kitchen that they can put things out and serve out of. So that's and then the rest of the money there they needed some more chairs, so they're gonna be getting some more chairs. And then the other $200 we gave to a brother in Portas Cielo Church that is building a music studio, so we wanted to help him get that up and running. So that's that. But I wanted to finish off and talk a little bit about the Topeka guys and what they're going through as three young couples is that, you know, they like Moe's, his wife is overwhelmed and he's overwhelmed. And so there's been some communication issues because he's so overwhelmed with his family. So one thing that I really talked with them about is, you know, in most churches, the way they deal with, you know, the idea of ministry is elevated above everything. And so, you know, we started talking with them about that. No, that's not right. You know, Christ needs to be elevated above everything. And then out of that, you know, your relationship with him, and your family needs to come first. So we tried to really lay some foundation for them to see that yes, you're serving in the church and you're doing what you can do, but you need to put your family first and serve your family first. So if Moe, you know, and his wife is overwhelmed, maybe he needs to step back from being part of the leadership team for a while so that he can just build into his family and build into his life and his relationship with his family and the Lord. And so we kind of tried to help separate that, you know, the idea of a ministry. So when Moe came over at Saturday night, you know, he sat down, and Moe loves to talk about different things. He's a big joker, and he wanted to talk about, do a lot of stuff about, you know, President Trump, you know. So you were joking about, you know, President Trump and the way he is and different things, and it was just great. And then I asked him about his family, and that's when he told me that he came up with the word overwhelmed, that his wife's overwhelmed, and we talked about that a little bit and where he's at with that. And then he puts his head back and he starts to cry. And he says, you know, I just want to minister in the church and I can't. And so this conversation I had with the other two couples earlier was exactly the same thing. And it's like God went before for us and he just entered into things. So I got to put my hand on his hand and say, it's okay. It's okay. You need to put your family first. And ministry can come later. You're going to walk through this first, and these other younger guys are going to come along later, and they're going to have to do the same, you know, when they have their children. And so you're going to cover each other. And so it's okay that you know, you can lay down ministry now and take care of your family, and then things can you know, be alive, and your children can be doing well as and your wife as well as the church, because the church is built on strong families, as we know. So that got me thinking that, you know, I was reading the scripture on Friday night about in First Peter, it talks about that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so, you know, the whole idea of a priest, there's two roles that a priest has. And the first role is to minister to whoever you're a priest for, right? You know, so in this case, we're priests unto God. So we need to first minister to God. And then we need to be act as intercessions or intercede for those around us to bring them before the God or before the King as well. And that reminded me of the story of Esther, because for me, Esther is a story that's really about Esther is in the natural, was a like a priest for what was going on with her people. And the first thing that happened was that she got roped in to be a woman that would go before the king, and she gave herself to that because that's what her uncle asked her to do. And there she is. She's, you know, going through all these beauty treatments for 12 months and all that stuff. And before they would go before the king, they would bring them down, from my understanding, down into the king's treasure vault. And they could take any jewelry that they wanted. And whatever they took, they got to keep for their life and livelihood, especially if the king didn't choose them, right? So, you know, I can imagine that a lot of these women would load up all kinds of, you know, necklaces and earrings and headpieces and all of this, and then they would go before the king. And they were all with this gaudy jewelry, right? But when Esther came, she said, well, I don't know what the king likes. And said, you know, to the to the servant there, he said, well, you know the king you pick. And so you can see right away that Esther's viewpoint was what will please him, not what I want or what I need. What's not what's for me, right? It's but what will please the king. And so it says that he picked out one piece of a necklace. And she put that on. And I think when she walked before the king said, oh, she's beautiful. And she has nothing for herself. She's here for me. And so that's the first role that we have as a priest, is to want and to serve and to minister to the Lord. And that's what we do here on Sundays and other times and in our homes, is that we worship and we present ourselves as a priest and serve the Lord. And if we go before him in prayer with what's on his heart versus what's on our heart, then, you know, it's so much better to go before the king and wait for him to ask, what do you need, versus going in here and telling him what I want, right? And so, you know, that's the understanding of ministering to the Lord versus putting up my ministry, right? And so the next thing that we see with Esther as time went on, she had to go before the king to intercede for her people. And so she fulfilled in the natural the two pieces of what we are to do as a royal priesthood, that we go before the king first, and he knows us because we go in there to minister to him. And then secondly, if we have to go before the king and we're there, he says, what do you want? You know, that's what he said to Esther. You know, what do you want? You know, when she went before him and said, well, you know, give me a banquet, right? And he knew, oh, no, she wants something else, right? So he kept asking, what do you want? What do you want? And two banquets later, she finally reveals it, right? And so, you know, that's the way relationships work, is that we need to walk in and build a relationship. And then after that, we can then communicate great things together. And so, I'm so glad that God has taught us how to be a royal priesthood. Because when we go down to Mexico, we can then share those important pieces, even if we don't bring up the subject of being a priest. We're sharing with them what's important, is that there, it's not about ministry. It's not about the gaudiness of the jewelry we can put all around us to go before the king, right? Something that will protect us. But we go and almost expose ourselves to the king, to the Lord, and say, this is me, this is who I am. Because what's more important, my ministry, or that I'm a son of the living God? And that is the greatest privilege of all, is that he knows me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And as that, you know, when I had a little child, I didn't think at all what they could do for me. I only wanted them to come in and sit on my lap and play a game together and just be a part of my son or daughter's life. That's what I wanted. And that's what our Father wants. Because we are first his children. And then he calls us to put weapons in our hands and prepares us for war. And he sends us out to do the ministry, because he and I are in one. and we go out and we do the work that he's given us to do. Not because it's my ministry, but it's because it's what God has asked me to do. And so I just wanted to share that again with us. We all know this so very well, but it's so good to be reminded that we are a royal priest. And therefore, we can go before the King. We can go before the God of all creation and say, God, I just want to lift up my neighbor. I just want to lift up those around me. I want to lift up my state. I want to lift up my nation. And Lord, come and pour out your spirit, and you begin to intercede as a priest. And God listens. Because we did the first, we went to see what was on his heart as a bride unto him, wanting to please our husband, wanting to please our King, wanting to please our God. So thank you, Lord, for teaching us through your scripture. We thank you for teaching us through the story of Esther, that she was a woman who laid down her life for her family, her people, and for the King. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little presentation and what God is doing. And there's much more that God is doing down there, and he's beginning to increase the work down there. So I'm not sure exactly what all our involvement will be at every step, but whatever God calls us to do, you know, I know that our hearts are to serve him in whatever he asks us to do. But it's not about ministry. It's about the Lord and about what he wants. So praise you, Lord.